broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good morning to you on this St. Patty's Day. We're in the clubhouse. Our guest this morning, Bailey Mosier, Golf Channel Morning Drive co-host, Bill Holowaty, the COO of Miura Golf, Michael Patrick Shields, a host of Michigan's Big Show. He's in Cork, Ireland, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, where they've been celebrating all day. So it should be interesting talking to Michael Patrick Shields in just a few minutes. Bob Foreman, the former director of fitness and well-being at Congressional Country Club, is going to get us in shape. He's TPI and Flexor Motor Learning Program certified. Michael McGruther, author of The Puddle Club, his first book. He's a screenwriter. In fact, he's an award-winning screenwriter. You want to play a round of golf somewhere around the islands? We've got at Volcano, where it's still 55 degrees, a 924 and a 1030. Makalei, 838, 1010. At Poipu Bay, the Western International Bankers have just taken over the entire course. Yes, they're all playing. Kapolei, 1145, 1222. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 928, 1030. Makaha East, 836, 940, 1010. Kahili, that's where Claude Brousseau is, at 10 o'clock and 1110. And the Wailea Gold, at 947. Emerald, 1117. And at Maui Nui, there's a 1030. And that is the home of David Havens. Okay, first we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots. Concrete colored floors and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And it's going to be a fabulous day in Hawaii, sunny with a haze in the sky because the winds are variable sometimes out of the south, bringing the fog from that plume that sits off the Kona shore from the volcano. Isolated showers at times, and the winds will become northeasterlies, 15 miles per hour this afternoon, to blow that stuff away and cool us off. Okay, let's bring her into the clubhouse. Bailey Mosier, Golf Channel, Morning Drive co-host, reporter and journalist, a master's of journalism, Arizona State. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bailey.
Aloha. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, you were just here on Maui celebrating the Tournament of Champions. Did you enjoy yourself?
Hawaii is maybe my favorite place in the world. My husband and I, we honeymooned in Lanai. We spent the next week at the Tournament of Champions 2 years ago and then came back for our first anniversary celebration, did sort of the same thing back to Lanai for a few days, and then on Maui again. So what's not to love? It's absolutely stunning. One of my favorite spots in the entire world. And every time we go, I do not want to leave. Brandel and I, we discuss how we can get to Maui, you know, at some point in our lives in retirement. So I envy that you live there.
Oh, that's, you know, and by the way, the husband she speaks of is none other than the Brandel Chambly of Golf Channel, golf analyst. You all know him. Enjoy his insights. In addition to Bailey Mosier's co-hosting of Morning Drive, she has her on-air duties, plus she does video segments for Grill Room. And Bailey, what I love is your kind of, so many people have this reverence about golf and it's very serious. And there's something wonderfully irreverent sometimes about you. You bring a sparkle, a spontaneity, a fun aspect. That's just your personality, right? Do you see golf and the inside of it as being a more fun thing and not something so serious?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for noticing and recognizing that. I like to smile. I like to laugh. I like to give people grief and make them sort of uncomfortable so that they have, you know, nervous laughter and you sort of see what they are really like. So I bring that to the Grill Room and sort of my reporting there for GolfChannel.com that you know, it's just golf. It's meant to be fun. It's a beautiful game that we all love. We all go out there with our friends and, you know, have a few drinks on the course and laugh and tell stories in the grill room in the 19th hole. And absolutely, I mean, I think life's too short not to laugh and have fun and sort of poke fun at ourselves, you know, myself included. I am a bit self-deprecating at times there, which is the point, to laugh and just have fun.
Exactly. I mean, when I noticed how much people took this game so serious many years ago, I said, listen, if we're not having fun for 4 hours on the golf course or 5 hours or goodness knows I've had a 6 hour round, right? I mean, what am I doing for 6 hours if I can't have a fun time?
What's the point?
Right, exactly. So when you do your segments for the grill room, tell us a little bit more about, like, who do you like to talk to? What are the subjects you take up?
Oh, I mean, it's evolved over the years. We sort of started it out recognizing, I mean, I've been at Golf Channel, this is my 8th year. So we started a blog first that just sort of highlighted what we call, you know, the lighter side of golf. And then in the past 7-8 years, social media has exploded. So with that, we've sort of tailored it to highlighting all the things that go on, you know, outside of the ropes and social media and highlighting these tour players' lives outside the ropes. The grill room has evolved over the years. We basically sort of just find what's funny or ironic about some things that they're doing outside the ropes and, you know, not poke fun at them, but have fun with them.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm thinking Ricky Fowler is a perfect example of someone who has an absolute blast, and he's really serious about other things, issues that concern him. He's a wonderful person to get into, and that makes you feel closer to the golfer you're watching on television for how many hours it is that we watch. You know, have you ever had a chance to talk with Ricky?
It's so funny. So one of my only sort of like deer in headlights moments came with Ricky Fowler. And I don't even know why, because, you know, he's a good looking guy and it's not like I have a crush on him or anything, you know, really sharp, really nice guy. Don't have a crush on him, but it was early on at Golf Channel. We were doing a feature on the 100-year anniversary from Francis We Met winning the U.S. Open in 1912. So in 2012, I was going around asking players at the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass early in the week, you know, before tournament rounds got started, asking them what Francis We Met's win impact that had on golf in America and growing the game and growing the game for Americans. And so I asked a bevy of players, and one of them was Ricky Fowler. I was sort of chasing after him. He was walking from the practice range to the clubhouse or whatever. Sort of chased after him, you know, asked him, can I ask you a few questions? And he said, absolutely, couldn't have been any nicer. And I sort of just froze. I think I asked, like, one question, but then I was super awkward. And I was mumbling and bumbling and fumbling. And again, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why, but I couldn't. I think I got out maybe two questions. And then at that point, we were at the clubhouse. He had stopped and he was willing to talk to me longer. But he, you know, just was staring at me. And I was like, okay.
That is, it's one of those moments where your brain just goes, you're not sure where to go with it. It's,
right.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess I'm a bigger Ricky fan than I realized, because I was, you know, fangirl awestruck, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I understand. There's times when they're coming off the tee, you know, they're finished with the round, and you're supposed to ask the question of, like, what did you like about this round or what happened here and there? And it's such an awkward moment because they may not have had a great round. And one golfer, and I won't say his name, was very, very direct. Like, you know, did you see me play? You know, what did I not like about, you know? So
right.
Those are difficult times, but at the same time, when you're standing in front of somebody you've been watching and you've been trying to get a hold of, and in your case, running after him, that in itself is like just the hustle of it. I really admire you and Brandel's ability to have this wonderful relationship that you have and travel as much as you do and be apart, because you must spend a lot of time apart.
Oh, we did for sure. I mean, we've been dating for 8 years now. So we got married December 2016, and only in 2016 did he sort of transition to Orlando, where Golf Channel is headquartered, full time to live here, because he, three kids with a previous marriage, they all live in Arizona, as does the ex-wife. So he was in Arizona for 30 years. And, you know, initially the first 6 or so years of our relationship was difficult. We were apart for a lot of it. But now we pretty much don't. I mean, I think he went to the Open last year. I wasn't able to go. And so he was gone for maybe 9 days. And I think that was by far the longest.
So let me say, when he does go on location, you get to go with him all the time?
I typically try to sneak up there for the weekend. My morning drive schedule, most weeks I'm on Thursdays and Fridays. So if I can, I try to fly up on the weekend and go see him and go watch the golf and be a fan. Sometimes I also have to work golfchannel.com. I'm still an editor for our website, so I still have to do some of that, but I can do that remotely.
Yeah, you can do that on the road. I'm talking with Bailey Mosier, Golf Channel Morning Drive co-host. She's a journalist. She has a Master of Journalism from Arizona State. You also played golf, and I want to get to that, but I'd like to ask a question. Brandel Chamblee and all the guys who you see doing the commentating and the analyzing, they're of the generation that saw Tiger Woods at his height when he was young, you know, year 2000, etc., when you could almost count on Tiger sinking the putt, which he's been doing pretty nicely recently, right? And then most of us, the time in the last 10 years, we've had to say, oh, yeah, you know, he's great, but you should have seen Tiger. And we started to sound like, you know, old fogies, like, well, if you would have been there in our time, right?
Right.
Now that you see Tiger Woods coming back to form, do you see why everyone was so impressed?
Well, yeah. So another sort of funny thing that, maybe I shouldn't admit or say out loud, and I really haven't said this to many people, but in 2013, I would, as part of, you know, some of my duties, I've been inside the ropes, walking with Tiger, watching him win. And his ball striking in 2013 did not strike me as, you know, wow, this is the greatest player of all time. It didn't have the sound that it should have. It just didn't have that impact or leave that impression on me. So I have yet to see, I've yet to physically go out to a tournament in 2018 and see this version of Tiger up close and personal, but I'm sure I don't have to. I mean, just watching it on TV, it's unbelievable and so such a spark of excitement and adrenaline. And yes, I see why everyone is going absolutely bonkers. I mean, after the first round of API, he was already the Masters favorite. I mean, that's crazy.
It is crazy. I think I've been watching, of course, he's not that high up on the leaderboard going into the weekend, but he did make the cut. Thank you.
Right.
And his ball striking is a whole lot better, and he's got an incredible swing speed. I mean, off the chart. He's looking great on the greens. He's not getting as close as you'd want to with your irons when you're making that into the green shot. It seems like he's making it harder on himself than he needs to. But the crowds that and the energy that he's creating, somebody says, and maybe because you're with so many people who are there, they say that the energy now is even much different than it was when he was at his peak, when he was at his form. Is there something about, I guess, a comeback player doing so well that makes people even more excited? What were your thoughts, or what have you heard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he comes back and, you know, wins a tournament, wins a major, I mean, everyone, this is nothing new out of my mouth, everyone's saying, you know, we never ever thought he would win again. And if he can come back, it could be the greatest comeback story in the history of sport. Everything that he's been through with his body and mentally and, you know, some off-course issues,
yes,
would be unbelievable. And talking about how palpable the electricity and the energy is, I was on Morning Drive last week for the Valspar. I believe it was Thursday. It could have been Friday. Doesn't matter what day. But Tiger Woods was in our – he was on the course during our on-air window, and so we were updating, you know, we have certain rights to show video, so we couldn't show all of the shots or anything, but we were updating throughout the morning, you know, scorecards and just what he was doing, and that's when he was, you know, tied for the lead, took the solo lead, and, you know, talking about the electricity, I mean, that was maybe the most fun show I've ever done, because, and everything was hectic and changing,
yes,
because we were just on the fly updating things as we were going along, but the adrenaline, and it was so much fun to be a part of, and, you know, that's why you wanted to work in golf, right? That's why these kids wanted to play golf. Like, Tiger Woods infused all of us with this just electricity, and so it is so much fun to see him playing like this and being a part of it.
Yeah, and not even, I mean, I don't expect him to win yet. I expect he will win one day. I think he's tired. He's been playing a whole lot more than he usually does, but he wanted to get the reps going into the Masters. He needed,
right?
He just seems like, okay, boy, after not doing anything for a long time, all these tournaments, all these people, I think it's starting to get to him just a little.
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree. I think he will win. I don't think he's going to win this week. I don't think he's going to win the Masters, because I think there's still just that rust, the competitive rust. We sort of saw it on Sunday at the Valspar. You know, he just didn't make any putts. All the putts that, like you mentioned earlier, we saw to come to know him to make, the improbable, impossible putts that he used to just always will in the hole. I mean, he didn't make anything hardly on Sunday at Valspar. So I think there's a little bit of rust there still, just competitive when the pressure's on. And, you know, even so far this week, his ball striking's not nearly what it was last week. So I agree. I mean, a little bit tired. I don't think the win will come at the Masters, but, you know, you never know.
You never know with Tiger Woods, and it's always fun to watch, and it's exciting, and the energy, and I get goosebumps, chicken skin, you know, and just, like, I've got to go and watch. Valspar was amazing. We all knew he was going into the Arnold Palmer Invitational after winning there 8 times. You know, all the expectations are so high, and I think he made a point. It's like, yo, let's settle down here just a little bit. On Thursday, you know, he's talking to the scrum, the media, and Karen Kraus asked a question, and he seemed to be, you know, hackles up a little bit about it, but it was really more about, hey, whoa, you know, let's, as she said on a tweet, can we just dial it down a little bit? I'm not, you know, you're talking to me about winning, and these expectations you have. Let's go back to when you were talking to me about, hey, this, you're coming back, this is how you're feeling.
Right. Yeah. Rex Hoggard, one of our senior writers, he wrote a column for GolfChannel.com along those lines, saying that, you know, it was just at the President's Cup last year, September, that one day Tiger was asked 17 questions from the media, and, you know, they were all, they varied from the earthquakes in Mexico to, you know, the young guns and everything, everything in between.
Yeah.
And if, you know, are you ever coming back? And here we are, this is his fifth official PGA Tour start this year. And it's, right, it goes from 0 to 90 in 5 events. And now it's not a matter of, you know, will you win again? It's when are you going to win again?
When? So, when? Come on. Let's go.
We need to know. Yeah.
We are a pushy bunch, aren't we?
We are.
Yes.
We want Tiger back in that winner's circle.
Exactly. And Bailey Mosier, Golf Channel, Morning Drive co-host, journalist, reporting, of course, a reporter, Masters of Journalism from Arizona State, but she went to Old Dominion. You competed on the golf team, so you know something about competition.
I did, yeah. I started sort of late in life as far as, you know, getting a college scholarship is concerned. I didn't start playing until I was 15, and I sort of sidestepped into the game. I had knee surgeries for a genetic degenerative cartilage disorder I have in both of my knees, and so I sort of just took it up as a way to be an athlete with a game that was, you know, less taxing on my body. So started playing at 15. My dad taught me how to play, worked really hard because I wanted to be a collegiate athlete, and so got a scholarship, played at Old Dominion for 4 years, was the team captain, at least my senior year, maybe my junior year. I don't remember.
It was a long time ago.
It was, unfortunately, a long time ago. So creeping up there.
You know what, Billy? I was actually joking about it being a long time ago because you're very young.
Well, for me, that does seem like a long time ago. But it was funny, actually, yesterday on air, Kelly Tillman, who's, this is our last event, she's retiring from Golf Channel. For some reason, I don't know why, bless her heart, so sweet of her, they were doing a Ricky Fowler highlight, and I had played golf at Bay Hill with Kelly Tillman years ago, and so Kelly and Brandel are up there calling the highlight, and Kelly said something about, you know, Ricky Fowler having a difficult time on this one hole on his driver. And she was like, you know, who never has a hard time on this hole with the driver? Your wife, Bailey. She strikes it. I played with her years ago, blah, blah, blah. So she brought that up on air, which obviously, you know, surprised everyone, including Brandel. And Brandel said, you know, yeah, she does hit it well. And then the next shot you saw was Ricky making a putt. And Brandel said, yeah, but she doesn't putt quite well.
Thanks, husband.
So when he got home last night, I gave him grief jokingly, but I was like, you know, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. He was like, well, he is a better putter than you, and so I was giving him grief. But point being, you know, just last night, Brandel and I were talking about sort of the differences between, I mean, I know there are obvious differences between my level and the pros, but, you know, you said I do know something about competing, yes. Certainly not to any degree that these professionals are.
Understood. I understand. You know, people need to know that because as a competitor, you know, it makes a whole different viewpoint on the game when you're talking. Would you like to be in a Kelly Tillman seat?
You know, I always wanted to be. That was my goal. That's who I saw that I wanted to model my career after. But now that I've been at Golf Channel for several years, I think I've learned about myself that that's not exactly the best fit for me because I think I'm more of what I am doing in that, you know, I travel, I do some lifestyle pieces where I go and do these Avis road trips for morning drive. I do some fashion stuff.
Yeah.
I do the grill room.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit not, and Kelly, she is light and she keeps it light and she keeps it funny and informative. And I love that about her. But I think my personality lends itself to do, things outside of, you know, sitting in the Golf Central host chair, which I've come to terms with.
Yeah, that's great. And I love it because getting to know the players is what makes golf real to people. And through you, we can get to know the lighter side of them. And that's important. You know, when you find out that Jimmy Walker is like an astronomy buff and takes pictures of the galaxies, right? You just go, wow, okay. Bailey Mosier is Golf Channel Morning Drive co-host, reporter, and journalist. And I really thank you for taking so much time out of your day on this weekend to spend with us inside the clubhouse. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Danielle. So great to talk to you. And let me know if you ever want me back.
I would love to have you back. Bailey Mosier, aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to go back out there and talk with Miura, okay, because they've got a film coming out, but they've also got some really nice clubs that I think many of us would like to own. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837.
401-221-2837. Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Do you have a child or know someone who does who wants to learn how to play golf? Well, they can begin to learn for free. On March 24th at 15 great courses, new and beginning golfers can receive instruction from PGA professionals at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is sponsored by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 808-532-0559.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
So much about Miura Golf is envied. Miura Golf is now also introducing, for those of us not as skilled as some who would like to get those blades, the Miura blades, they've introduced the MC501 muscle cavity irons. And we've also got something really interesting. One of the golf industry's really the most mysterious brands is Miura. Not a lot is known about it, but now they're releasing the film Discovering Perfection, The Miura Story. So let's talk with Bill Holowaty, the COO of Miura Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Pleasure to be with you this morning, and love connecting with all the great people in Hawaii.
Awesome. Now, let's start off with these muscle cavity irons, MC501s. Why did you come out? Usually you're not a performance-enhancing club, if that's the better word.
Yeah, you know, I think you're in your introduction, you're probably right on the target with respect to the perception, at least, that the Miura clubs are you know, focused on the better player, and certainly Mr. Miura has and all, the entire Miura family has worked really hard at introducing, you know, models of irons that are, you know, would fit more players and a bigger segment of the marketplace. But certainly the MC501 was designed to fill that niche between the blade player, the better player, as well as the Miura player who, you know, might have been playing the cavity back irons, our CB501, the CB57, and, you know, will be something that will appeal to golfers in both of those categories. Our longest blade iron to date, so it's a little longer heel to toe. We've been able, through design, to distribute some of that weight that was typically found in the muscle back to the sole of the club. So it is a wider sole. It's got the iconic wide grind leading edge on it, which Yoshitaka Miura has created. So it's really easy to get through the turf. The turf interaction is fantastic. It creates easier ball on face contact, delivers the penetrating ball flight that we want, but also, you know, gives those little misses off the sweet spot, the type of dispersion that we're looking for. So we're really excited about it, and it's appealed to the better player, and we're finding that the mid-handicap guy is able to hit it as well. So really excited about this new model.
That's so, you know, once you get a set of Miura golf clubs, a lot of people just, they say, why would I get something different? Can you talk to the person who's got them and, you know, like, loves how they feel? Why would they want to change?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of discovering perfection, if you will. You know, I've been with the Miuras for, I've known them for 25 years. I've been directly involved in the business since 2003. And I can't tell you how many times we've heard back from maybe a golfer for the first time who hits a Mura club and literally has an epiphany where he says or she says, boy, I've never felt anything like that before. That speaks to the manufacturing process. It's unique in the industry, obviously not lending itself to mass production. And Mr. Mura has been able to create a grain structure within the head because of his manufacturing technique that is the tightest in the industry. The quick analogy I'll give you and maybe allows listeners to get a better feel for what it is. The Mura grain structure would be like a jar of sand. No voids, no gaps within that grain structure. The industry standard might be that same glass jar filled with marbles.
Wow.
So when you hit with the glass jar of sand, essentially you've got no vibration coming. The energy transfer to the ball is complete. And, you know, we've often heard, Danielle, golfers describe Mura as being soft or like butter.
Yes.
But if you look at that glass jar of sand hitting the golf ball, what they're really describing is solid. And that's what's unique about the Mura product. That's why, you know, the feel and the performance is so exceptional. And when you discover perfection, you're literally feeling something that is so solid that it transmits soft or buttery to you as the adjectives. But that's what that manufacturing process delivers.
That's wonderful. Now, this club, is it a full range of this, the MC501? Is it a first of many models to follow in this? It's going to be available in the 3-through pitching wedge, correct?
Correct. Yeah, correct. And this is, you know, one of three launches that we'll have in 2018. The next to come in early April will be a brand new tour wedge. Our wedge series has allowed many golfers to dip their toe in the Mura waters before. You know, not knowing the Mura brand, often people are a little hesitant to try an entire set.
Right.
We realize that we're a premium product, but this is going to allow golfers to as we say, dip their toe in the Mura waters. It'll be our first offering that has milled grooves.
Wow.
So that's really new for us, and it's going to help with the spin that golfers seek. It'll have 7 lofts from 48 through 60, and that's going to be the next launch. And then later in end of April, early May, we anticipate we'll have the IC601. This will be an inner cavity club that has a 455 Carpenter steel face, which is going to give all golfers, not only you know, the better players, but the mid to high handicappers, a chance to play Mura clubs with a club with a little bit stronger loft, a hotter face, and essentially the three adjectives which will describe it are higher, straighter, farther.
Well, and, you just talked to me, because that's that's what I
think. I talked to all of you. Yeah, everybody wants that, don't they?
Yes, yes. When you say mid to higher handicap, I'm like, hello. I want a wedge. I mean, what you say about dipping your toe in the Mura waters, you know, when you say there's the wedge, I can buy a wedge. That's, you know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's got the new shape. It's got a great design on the sole. We're really excited about it. We have a great dealer, Mura dealer in Hawaii, Aloha Golf Center, and
Joey Tadeo. He's on my show a lot. Love him.
Absolutely. So there's going to be an opportunity there for anyone there to make contact with Joey, Adam, TJ Kua, who's there, and all these guys have been great supporters of Mura. And we're really excited about it, because I think, you know, with, as we were going to talk about the documentary that's coming out, our biggest challenge, Daniela, through the years has been the building of the brand awareness with Mura. The golf gearheads, and certainly we use that term affectionately, they know who Mura was. They know that Mr. Mura has been making clubs since 1957. They know that he gained his reputation doing a lot of OEM work on behalf of many of the big companies in the world, that he's had major tournament winners that have played clubs that were stamped with other brands, but they maybe didn't know about him specifically. So this new documentary that's coming out is going to allow us to tell that Mura story, past, present, and future. And we're really excited that this is going to be our opportunity to put the brand out in front of so many different, or maybe so many golfers that maybe didn't know the story.
Yeah, it's called Discovering Perfection, the Mura Story. It's distributed digitally the week of March 19th. I think there's a trailer for this short documentary on the clubmaker, the Japanese clubmaker, Mura. And it's out already. So if you're on Twitter, you go to Mura Golf, and I think it'll come up, Mura Golf Inc., and you can find the trailer there. Also on Facebook, just go to Mura Golf on Facebook, and the trailer is there. It's really what the Mura family does, the forging, the individual making of the clubs is so... it's like a cottage industry in this day of mass produced clubs and stamping out the clubs. Yeah, there's some final work that's done on all clubs, but the way the Muras do it, I'm talking with Bill Holowaty, COO of Mura Golf. They hand forge everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, that even, you know, to me, when I first joined the company, understanding that literally the human element is hands-on from, you know, the initial first strike of a billet of soft carbon steel through the finishing process where, you know, we're paint filling on the club head. There's essentially a 14-step process that is entirely hands-on. And when we deliver, you know, the final product, we know that our heads are sent out to a tolerance of plus or minus half a gram. But one of the things that was most interesting to me, and I think golfers will see, is that, you know, every club is hand finished, and is the grinding is done by hand. The stamping of the Mura name, the number on the sole of the club, everything done by hand. So it is a really labor intensive process. And you know, when we say there is a Mr. Mura, in fact, there's three of them, and there is a Mura factory. That basically is a testament to, as you said, you know, how unique our brand is in this world. You know, there's not many companies out there that have their own factory. Mura does, and to know that the Mura family, Katsuhiro Mura, who is the chairman of the company, Shinye Mura, or his two sons, Shinye and Yoshitaka Mura, you know, they literally could walk into step one of the process and follow a set of irons through, doing all the work themselves. And I'm not sure there's many presidents or chairmen of equipment companies that are hands-on and can deliver a product start to finish. So we're very proud of that. We're proud of our new team in our corporate offices now in Scottsdale, Arizona. We're very proud of the fact that Howard Milstein, the executive producer of the documentary, was able to introduce or tell this story to golfers everywhere. And as you said, it's available through all our social media platforms or at the website, muragolf.com. You can scroll down and access the trailer there and get a little tease of what's coming in the week ahead.
Bill Holowaty, the COO of Mura Golf, thank you so much for the insight on the clubs to come, wedges, and something for me, the low and high handicapper, and something for people who love Mura and are ready to take that new set into their home. Thank you for being on the show.
Daniel, thank you. You've been a friend of Mira for a long, lot of years, and we appreciate it. We appreciate the fine people of Hawaii, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime down the road.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And you can find Mira Golf at Aloha Golf Center. All the guys there, just give them a call. They're open 6 days a week. We're going to come back and talk with Bob Foreman. We're going to get our fitness on right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing! Your experts on call.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I just want to let you know the annual scholarship golf tournament the Maui Filipino Chamber of Commerce puts on is Saturday, April 21st. Breakfast registration begins at 6. Check in no later than 6:30 because the shotgun starts at 7. Y'all got to be in your places. And then the lunch banquet follows, and they've got a whole bunch of things for you to win, okay? Including golfers will have the opportunity to win a hole-in-one prize at each of the par threes sponsored by Jim Fox Valley Isle Motors. They could, of course, also win door prizes. And the grand door prize sponsored by Philippine Airlines, okay? So there's a whole bunch of stuff to do, and what you want to do, I mean, when you think about it, since 1995, the Maui Filipino Chamber has awarded scholarships to 150 graduating high school seniors and 5 students at the Maui Culinary Academy. So that's the annual golf tournament, the scholarship tournament, Maui Filipino Chamber of Commerce, and it's at the dunes of Maui Lani. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly where you should go to register. I'm looking for through the sheets, but you can always call the dunes at Maui Lani and get yourself, or you can get in touch with the Maui Filipino Chamber of Commerce, because this is going to be a whole lot of fun. If you can remember this number, it's 873-8605. 808-873-8605. And Alfredo Evangelista is another one, is 808-242-8100. That may be easier for you to remember. 808-842-8100. All right, now, let's bring him into the clubhouse. Bob Foreman is the former director of fitness and wellness at Congressional Country Club, a certified golf fitness instructor. He's got a master's degree in exercise physiology, TPI, Flexor Motor Learning Program certified. I mean, if you just said TPI, I would have been like, hello, Mr. Foreman, help me. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. Great to be back.
Yes. Now, when you talk about being a certified golf fitness instructor, what does that take?
Well, you have to go through one of their workshops. It's a, I think, 3-day workshop it is, and then you come back and take a test, and you pass it, you get your certification. But during the workshop, you're talking a lot about the physiology of the golf swing and of the individual golfer, and talk about muscle deficiencies and how they correlate to inefficiencies in the golf swing and injury. So it's a lot about the physicality of the golf swing.
Exactly. The fact that, you know, we do have deficiencies in our muscles, and we're sitting all the time. And then there's, you know, if you play golf a lot and you don't exercise the other side of the body, doesn't that have repercussions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, golf, because it's a repetitive one-sided activity, you know, it does create imbalances in the body, and that's why it's important to get checked every once in a while, go through a physical screen to see where your deficiencies are, because everybody's got them. I mean, I've been doing this for about 12 years now. I've been in the fitness field for over 30, and it's these deficiencies that cause misalignment in the body that causes aches and pains and injury, and like I say, can impact your mechanics.
Right. So if you think about how you're sitting at work, and that's a repetitive problem because you're sitting and maybe you have to turn to look at a screen. Just think about how you're pulling on, you know, I'm talking from experience here. We don't think about that because we're so intensely involved in what we're doing. People who are in the police department dispatch office, I mean, they're constantly engaged. So they're so out of body, it's like they're constantly talking. And then when you stand up, you go, wow, after a few, right?
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happens when you sit. And again, most of us sit on the average of 8 to 10 hours a day, usually in front of some sort of screen. So we're hunched over the screen, or we're a dentist or a doctor, or we're hunched over patients. And what it does to you, number one, is it shortens up some key muscle groups that can impact your lower back, one of those being your hamstrings in the back of the thighs, the other one being your hip flexors, which are mainly in the front part of your hip. And because they both attach to the hip bone, not only can they impact your lower back, but they can also impact your freedom of movement that you want in the golf swing. The other thing that it does is it elongates your muscles in the front part of your thighs, your quadriceps, and it elongates your glutes, your butt muscles. And those are, when you elongate a muscle, you weaken the muscle. So, over time, you lose strength in the legs and in the glutes. And those are important muscle groups for balance, for lateral stability, for getting you off the chairs when you finally decide to get up. So there's not really a whole lot of good things going on when you sit, both from a health perspective and also from playing performance, your golf game.
Talk to us about the angle of the neck when you're looking at screens.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I mean, there's a new term out there now called text neck that came out a few years ago. And basically, when you're hunched over a screen of some type, our phones, our cell phones, our computers, our laptops, you get into this rounded shoulder posture. And the one thing you got to keep in mind is that the body will adapt to the position that it's placed in most of the time. So if you're sitting over this screen, or if you're looking at your cell phone a lot during the day, you get into this rounded shoulder posture, which basically shortens the muscles across the front part of the chest and shoulders, so you tighten those respective muscles. You also elongate the muscles in the upper back, primarily what's called the rhomboids, which attach your shoulder blades to your spine. And so, again, when you elongate, you weaken, so you get into this posture that is not good for you health-wise. You can get into shoulder problems, shoulder impingement, neck problems. But you can take that rounded shoulder posture out to the golf course, and it shows up in what's called a C posture, which is becoming an epidemic in the world of golf. You know, it's that bowed spine, which doesn't really help you in terms of getting that good shoulder turn that you want to get, which is the first power move in the golf swing, so you tend to lose distance.
You know, I hear everything you're saying, and the first thing that comes to my mind is when I try to stay straighten up, you know, and get my, it's so hard to keep my back straight because it all feels very tight. And I want to know, you know, what muscles do I need to work on so that I can reverse what I'm doing during the day to myself by sitting so long? I know I'm supposed to stand up, but you know what? There's times when I can't stand up for a couple of hours. But not good.
Yeah, I mean, well, the studies coming out now, you know, indicate that you should try to get up every 30 minutes and just move around for a minute or two. And that will definitely help in terms of your health. But in terms of the muscle deficiencies that develop, you want to stretch the tightness and strengthen the weakness. So in terms of the upper body, you want to stretch the muscles across the chest. So a good way to do that is just to kind of get into a door frame, put your forearms up on the door frame, have your upper arm parallel to the floor, and then gently just lean into the door frame till you feel a gentle stretch through the chest and shoulder area, and that'll help stretch the front. Then you need to strengthen the weakness. So for the back, for the rhomboids, you get yourself an exercise tube or a band. You wrap it around something solid that won't move. You step back. You got a handle in each hand. Your arms are outstretched in front of you with the palms down. And basically what you do is you pull your elbows back and up as you squeeze your shoulder blades together, and that will help strengthen those rhomboids.
I love it. I mean, when you talk to me about lengthening muscles and making them weaker, when you said elongating, so, you know, it almost sounds like that's good, but it's not good.
No, it's not good. You know, and unfortunately, many of us, you know, are walking around in that situation where our body's out of alignment. We have asymmetries, and it's not good.
You can find Bob Foreman. I'm talking with Bob Foreman, certified golf fitness instructor, TPI, golffitcarolina.com. And it's one F. So golffitcarolina.com. Do you have videos?
Yes. On the site, I post an exercise of the month. I switch that out every month, and then you can go to the library, which has other videos of other stretches and strengthening exercises that you can do to help your golf game.
And you can also get in touch with Bob at bob@golffitcarolina.com and talk to him about getting added to the mailing list so you can be reminded about what you should be doing to get your game on and get your body happy and healthy, and that'll help your mind. All of it is working together. When our body's not happy, the mind gets preoccupied, and you just know something's up, but you don't know what to do. So many of us don't have time to go to appointments for ourselves. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, time is a commodity, but, it doesn't take that long. You can spend, what's nice, if you can find someone who can kind of take you through a physical screen to identify your specific deficiencies and imbalances, then you can target an exercise program specifically to correct those deficiencies. So it's very time efficient.
It's very time. And so when you say time efficient, how long?
15, 20 minutes.
That's time efficient.
Four times a week.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, we can do that. We just have to be insistent about it. We have to make sure. Did you know that, I'm not really talking to Bob, I'm talking to you and myself, that when you don't take care of yourself, you become depressed without really realizing it. So that's what I mean. It's not really good for your mind and your whole overall well-being. You need to dedicate a little time. You know, you're busy taking care of everybody else. You're rushing to work, you're rushing to your other job, and you're rushing to the kids, and you're rushing to get the shopping done, and you're rushing, and we're all rushing. And you just got to stop, you got to breathe, you got to work, do what Bob Foreman says. And you can find him at golffitcarolina.com and get some insight from him. You know, we all sit at our computers. You can even do this like during your break or make a break for yourself and get some more information from him. When you worked with TPI, what do you do?
In terms of the TPI, well, I mean, what you do is, and TPI is just one of the certification processes out there, but basically what you're doing is you're helping the golfer, like I say, identify where their deficiencies are, and then putting together a program for that individual to correct those deficiencies. And when you do that, you're going to help them swing a better golf club because you can get into those good hitting positions, you know, that you read about or that your teaching pro is trying to get you into. But once you get past the corrective phase, you know, focusing on the deficiencies, and that usually takes 6 to 8 weeks or so if you're diligent at doing the exercises, you know, then you want to work with that certified golf fitness instructor to progress, tweak the program so that you go from the corrective into some more golf-specific strength exercises and balance, and then eventually get into some power and speed exercises, because that's what will help recruit the muscle fibers that are responsible for, you know, the quick burst of energy that you know, the golf swing is. So you want to crawl before you walk and then walk before you run.
Right. So many people will go and say, okay, make me faster, make my swing better, but first you got to get yourself in shape to do those exercises to get you into golf shape. In other words, into speed shape, into strength shape. You've got to do some basic stuff to get yourself untangled up in the front and strong in the back or wherever it is the deficiency is. And I bring up TPI, Titleist Performance Institute, because in Hawaii there are people who are TPIs. And there are people here who are certified golf fitness instructors. And the Flexor Motor Learning Program certified, too. So all of these things, go online. I'm sure you'll find somebody here in the islands. And I wanted to bring Bob Foreman on because as a former director of fitness and wellness at Congressional Country Club, he is very insightful and certainly in the midst of it all. Thanks so much for being on the show. Really enjoy talking with you, Bob.
Oh, my pleasure, Danielle. Anytime.
Aloha.
Aloha.
We're coming back. We're going to go over to Ireland. Michael Patrick Shields, the host of Michigan's Big Show. Like 13 radio stations have his show, and he's on television, too. And he's the golf club's travel guru extraordinaire. He should be calling in any minute now from the lovely Emerald Isle. But we're going to take a break quick. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting the Greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837, your experts on call.
Do you have a child or know someone who does who wants to learn how to play golf? Well, they can begin to learn for free. On March 24th at 15 great courses, new and beginning golfers can receive instruction from PGA professionals at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is sponsored by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 808-532-0559.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. All right, Michael Patrick Shields, travel writer, author, Michigan's Big Show morning drive host. He was the last producer for the late, great Hall of Fame radio star J.P. McCarthy. In 2012, Michael Patrick Shields was on the show 12 times, from Pebble Beach to Doral to Florence. He was over in Nova Scotia. He went to Cuba. He was on Maui's at the Fairmont Wailea. Last year, he was on the show many times, too. But he was running with the Bulls. Today, he's partying with the strongest of them, not the Bulls, the Irish, because they're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. He's in Cork, Ireland. He's at the Hayfield Manor Hotel. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. And I think every time I've come here, and I've been on your program now, gosh, almost 2 decades, I've always called in from Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, and it's what a great tradition it is.
It is not. So what do the Irish do on St. Patty's Day?
Everybody goes to mass, and then they go to parades, and that can be wildly different from the Cork parade where I was today, near Hayfield Manor, to the smallest little village like Waterville, where they might have a tractor and maybe somebody rolling on a bed and, you know, some kids, with shamrocks in their hands. So it's really, really super sweet and all so very cool.
Okay. Now, Michael Patrick Shields, was in charge of leading a parade last year. Weren't you the honorary? Where was that?
I was the Grand Marshal in the Tramore Thanksgiving Day Parade 2 years ago, which was in the sunny southeast of Ireland, which today is getting snow, if you can believe that. It's been very strange weather. And this year, we did the program from the Waterville Golf Club, which is in the world, I'm sure, top 25. Noel Cronin is the secretary manager there, and he's been there for, I think, 40 years now. And it's right where Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic in the extreme southwest. And it was very, very beautiful. And anybody who wants to play the famous Lynx course of Ireland, they always get to Waterville. And they get to Lahinch, and they get to Ballybunion, and places like that.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful places like that. You're so lucky. What's the importance of the parade? Is there some historic reason why there's a parade?
Well, this is like this would be like Easter if you were to come to Ireland on a day like this. It's a day for families to be together. The pubs wouldn't open till evening, and then that's everybody after everybody's had dinner at home or gone to the parade or gone to mass. And so tonight there would be music. I'm in Limerick now, outside a place called Number One Perry Square, which is part of this thing called Ireland's Blue Book. And if you're coming to Ireland and you're going to bounce around from town to town, which I highly advise that you do, you might want to check that out, because what they've done is they've taken historic buildings and converted them into boutique hotels. So you get a real Irish experience, often in the city center, where you can park your car and walk, which can be important to some people, if you know what I mean. So they're going to stay out at night and have a pint or two or what have you. But
yes,
so it's Ireland's Blue Book. And they have another one, too, called Killarney Royal, right in the middle of Killarney. And I also paid a little visit there. So you might check out that Ireland's Blue Book. And in golf news, actually, there was some excitement this week, because earlier I stopped at Trump Dunebag, which is a Dunebag Golf Club now owned by Donald Trump, right?
Yes.
And they probably have the best lodging in Ireland, and they're not far from Shannon Airport, right on the Atlantic there in County Clare. And the Taoiseach, which is the Irish word for prime minister, was at the White House the other day, and he made a little joke that before he was prime minister, he helped President Trump, who wasn't president at the time either, with a wind farm issue at the Dunebag Golf Club. There was a local developer who wanted to put a wind farm up. It's a good spot for it, by the way. It's very windy. And the prime minister of Ireland joked that he helped Donald Trump, you know, avoid having a wind farm viewable from his golf course. And, of course, he was only kidding, but that made a ripple effect back here in Ireland, as you know, anybody's looking for any kind of anything. And it seems like when you deal with President Trump, it's a little sticky. So, yes. He touched the car, baby, and he got himself in some trouble. But apparently there's nothing to it. He was just making a little joke, and that's that. But it got Thunberg in the news, and it should be, because it's a hell of a development there, for sure.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. What, yeah. Yeah, it so much of Ireland. Every time Fairways and Fun Days is a company that I'm looking at hosting maybe a trip to Ireland, and they would organize and everything, and they always tweet these absolutely phenomenal pictures that just make me go, why am I not there? I should be there right now.
You just have to be ready for the fact that it's cold here today.
Okay.
And unseasonably cold. It's not Hawaii, mind you, but, you know, nobody comes here for the weather.
No. But tell me a little bit about Hayfield Manor Hotel. That's where you're staying.
Well, that is right in the middle of Cork, one of that Ireland Blue Book groups.
Yeah.
And they have a little putting green right out in front. And just like the one in Limerick over in Killarney Royal, when you get to your room, there's a surprise. They have a putting cup and a couple of balls and a putter. So in case you can't sleep, you can practice your putting at night. And that is a nod to how important golf is to the economy here and the tourism in Ireland, because so many people will come here and they might headquarters, say, in Killarney, and then wheel and spoke it out to some place like Tralee Golf Club or Ballybunion or Waterville or even Doonbeg. And so they embrace golf, they embrace Americans, and the spirit of the game, which is great. And today, the game that everyone's talking about is not golf, but rather rugby, because you can imagine this: on St. Patrick's Day, Ireland's rugby team beat England in England, won what's called the Six Nations Tournament, and they won the Grand Slam because they beat every team in the tournament.
Wow.
And they did it right on TV, and everybody in this country had a bet on it, I'm sure. So everybody did well.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds fantastic. Everybody's bouncing up and down, having a grand time. Now, I just want to ask about Hayfield Manor Hotel. The reason is, it one of the old buildings that was converted, or has it always been a manor home that was then converted to a hotel?
Well, they have, if you look back, these buildings are so old, they've had various owners over the decades.
I love old buildings. I love reuse. Yes.
Yeah, so that's what they specialize in, and you'd like it, you know, because you look like you're walking into an old place, but it has all the modern luxuries and warm showers, which was something that you didn't used to get in Ireland, but now they've amped up the tourism a bit. So Hayfield Manor would be an example in the middle of Cork, if you wanted to visit Cork and go into town. And so I'm standing in Limerick right now at One Perry Square, which is also a similar thing. And I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like you're walking into a historic building, and I'm sure when I get inside, there will be a spa and a gourmet restaurant. And of course, since it's morning in Hawaii, we all know that the Irish breakfast, until now, has been the number one meal of the day, for sure. It's this awesome historic experience that you have when you're here. But now they're ramping up the cuisine in the evening, too. So after a good 18 holes, you can reward yourself with some great wine and very likely some salmon, I would say, for dinner.
Delicious. Now, a final question, Michael Patrick, before I let you go, because, you know, I'm the queen of time.
Yes, your show is now very popular. It's tough to get on.
Now, you are all. Anytime you tell me you have time, you are on my show. That's all there is to it. You need to tell me one more time the Blue Book. What is the name of that again?
If you Google Ireland's Blue Book, you could chart your whole entire course and stay in a historic building everywhere around the country.
Excellent.
Including Dublin,
okay,
for that matter. Castles and all of it, yep.
Yep, castles, love castles. Okay, and then the other thing is, you say the pubs opened late. What time is late?
Well, the music would start at 9 or half 9, as they'd say, meaning 9:30. And
right.
Then everything's closed by 11:30 or 12 for the most part on any given night, which is sort of civilized, isn't it?
Well, Michael Patrick, where are you going to go?
I'm gonna do what Tourism Ireland advises.
Yes.
You know, it's People like to plan ahead, and they like to have everything all buttoned up, but I'm going to go where Ireland takes me.
Oh, I love it. That's the way it should be. And it's always wonderful. This is Michael Patrick Shields, travel writer, the Golf Club's travel guru extraordinaire. He's author, and he's got some fabulous books. And his most recent, you know, it's, tell me the name of your most recent book.
I call him Mr. President.
That's it.
About golf and fishing and friendship with the 41st President, George Herbert Walker Bush.
And you wrote that with the man who had that experience over how many years?
30 years. His best friend in golf and Kenny Bunkport there, Ken Rayner, and they did a lot of fishing and traveling and playing golf. And if you want to know what it's like to be the pal of a president, that's the book for you.
There you go. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show, Michael Patrick. It's always a pleasure. And you tell me when you...
Yeah,
okay.
I love you and leave you with little Irish here. Slongafol Pog Mahon.
Slongafol Pog Mahon?
Yeah, when you get here, say that. See what happens.
We'll be back right after this. We're going to go to the Puddle Club. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your home stand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker.
Now, back to the Golf Club.
Hawaii State Junior Golf Day is Saturday, March 24th. You've heard Mark Rolfing talk about it. It's a fun, free introductory experience to the game of golf. I said free, right? And it's fun. And they have a blast. I was at Olamana last year. Juniors, any age, okay? So, you know, if you're 17, come out. It's never too late. You heard Bailey Mosier earlier. She didn't start playing golf until she was 15. Now, I have this wonderful man, Michael McGruther, coming on, author of The Puddle Club, which he wrote with Coach. Now, I didn't know whether Coach was going to be on. I'd have to give Coach a different number. Greg Russell would have to get a different number to call in the conference connection. So the only thing I can do, and I'm going to give this number out to you, Michael, while you're, I want you to have Coach call this number, and we might be able to get Coach connected. So I'm going to list all the golf courses that are having a Hawaii Junior Golf Day. While you call, can you do that? Maybe you're, Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Because we only have one line that we can put on simultaneously from the studio, I'd have to have him call in on the conference connection.
And
the
no only, problem.
And the only way I can get that number to him is for someone to call, and I don't have Mr. Russell's number. So
no, I'm standing with him. I'm standing next to him right now.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm in his office at the country club here.
Okay, so let me see now. Do I have that number with me right away? So I think what Rick is going to do is he's going to text you the telephone number. Okay, so Rick is listening. He'll text you the phone number that needs to be, it's like a number, and then there's a, you know, conference connection, conference code, and they say, what's your code?
Got it.
And then he'll
no
be
problem.
In. Okay? All right. So,
okay.
So let me just finish up on the Hawaii Junior Golf Day. It's Saturday, March 24th. It is on Oahu at the Hawaii Prince, Ko'olina, Olomana, Turtle Bay, Hawaii Kai, Alawai, and Navy Marine. On the Big Island, it's Hilo Muni, Hualalai. On Kauai, it's the Princeville Makai, the Puakea, and the Kiahuna golf courses. And on Maui, it's at Wailea, the Emerald and Gold, at the Kahili course. And Claude Brousseau will be there with David Havens, and he'll have his spare for change, and he'll be able to fit clubs for kids who are there who, like, are going, ooh, I really want to do this, but I don't have a golf club. And Mom's like, oh, my goodness, where do I get golf clubs? And David will have them. Okay, and then on Maui, it's at Ka'anapali. Normally, it's held in the morning. They start registration at 8:30 and a check-in at 9. But on Maui, because they have the big fishing event, they clear out their water hazards by having a fishing tournament once a year. That's this Saturday. So what they're going to do is have the Hawaii Junior Golf Day in the afternoon. They're really busy at Ka'anapali. Michael McGruther is author of The Puddle Club, an award-winning screenplay writer he is as well, and the producer. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael.
Thank you. It's real awesome to be here. I really appreciate you having me in.
Absolutely. And I got to ask you, while we're getting Coach Greg Russell all connected, Tigerland. You know, I couldn't help but, like, Google your name to find out something about you. And it's,
right.
And you co-wrote the screenplay for this 2000 film that was nominated by the IFP West for Best First Screenplay and by the Political Film Society, PFS. The award was given to you in 2001. And I thought, Tigerland, interesting. You know, Tiger Woods being in the news so much right now. Just as, you know, it was a training facility for soldiers going to Vietnam?
Oh, yes. Actually, in the 1970s, down in Fort Polk, Louisiana, late 1960s, the military had a mock-up of Vietnam jungle that they sent the soldiers into to train for war. Tigerland ended up being a movie that was just about a guy who became their savior and figured out ways to get people out before they were shipped into the real jungle. So, it's a real place. It really existed.
It really existed. You know, and of course, Tiger's father being the military man he was, you know, you always wonder what inspires someone to give their kid the name Tiger. And he certainly is a tiger today. All right.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that.
Yes. You know, when you see a Tigerland, Earl was, he was Green Beret. So we're going to talk about The Puddle Club because this is a kid's book, but it's not a kid's book. Okay. So if you read The Puddle Club with your kids, you'll have so much fun going into this game of golf and game of life. Michael, why did you want to write this?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not a golfer, first of all. I don't play the sport, and I never gave the sport much attention until I moved into rural Pennsylvania, and the only house we could find was on a golf course. I have a young daughter who was invited just into a kids' golf program, and she connected with it so perfectly. Through the program, I met Coach Greg Russell, and he had just talked about this desire to get a book out into the world to help young golfers understand the mentality of the game in a way that that would really speak to them. But he's not a writer. So I said, guess what? I'm a writer. I live here. Maybe we should do this.
That's,
you know?
Awesome. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A partnership made in heaven.
A partnership.
Yeah.
Is Greg Russell there?
Yeah.
And he is. Thank you so much. You gotta love modern technology.
Yeah, love modern technology. So he's connected. So you have a metaphor, Coach Greg Russell, that really inspired this whole book, the metaphor that you kept going back to with Michael when you were putting it all together and talking about it, what is that?
Really, it kind of comes with a story. I'm a parent, so I have a young son who was a lacrosse player, and we were at a lacrosse game, and it was early in the morning, and a couple of the older kids were watching it, and I asked one of the older kids, I said, "You ever remember being this young?" And one of the college kids looked at me and said, "You know, it kind of reminds me when puddles were fun." And that just resonated with me, and I couldn't wait to get back to the club and tell Michael, like, I finally kind of got it. And then as soon as I told Michael, you know, he'll tell you, he ran with it, and this is where we are.
So that's the thing, is when I was reading up on the Puddle Club, it's a book, and Michael McCruthers is the author, and Coach Greg Russell is the inspiration. When you were young and you found a puddle, what'd you do? You jumped into it, right? When you grew up,
exactly,
right? You stopped jumping in. The question is why? Puddle never changed. You did. I love that, because you know that's like the puddle theory of having fun. Where did your fun go? Just because you got older, did you forget that you can be out there having fun? That was my first thought when I saw that. So I went into the book and I started reading, but what I do when I have a book, I haven't read the whole thing yet because I don't want to know the end, talk about the ending. I want people to read it and get to the ending. But I opened the book, arbitrarily, and I went to, of all place, the Forest of Lost Balls.
Oh, good.
We spend too much time in the Forest of Lost Balls. I mean, when do we ever give up looking for a golf ball that's only 50 cents? No, we don't. And so in this Forest of Lost Balls, there's all these people walking around going, "Have you seen my ball? Have you seen my ball? Have you seen my ball?" It's wonderful. What inspired that part of this chapter?
Well, I got to tell you that being a non-golfing dad, I am a caddy daddy. So I've just been out, and for the last 4 years of my daughter's young life, I've been out there playing golf, and I've just seen it over and over and over again to the point where, as a non-golfer, it immediately looked comical to me, the way everyone kicks around forever looking for the golf ball. So I just knew it was funny, and I used it in the book. When Greg and I were addressing that scene, we were trying to talk about all the different ways that you can get lost in the path of life as well. And the Forest of Lost Balls was a great opportunity to say how you can just go look for something that's worthless and spend all your time doing it when the real journey, the real prize is out there somewhere else instead of the Forest of Lost Balls. So it served its purpose, and it also is very funny.
Yes, and there's this one interaction between the two characters, Skyler and, Maxwell? No, Maxwell,
yes,
was one of the boys. Was the boy, he was in the Lost, he was in the Forest of Lost Balls. And so these two found themselves there. So in the scene, Maxwell nods and gets cheered up. He shrugs his shoulders and goes, "Well, at least now I know that the way out of a bad place is to dive right into something fun." And Skyler says, "So true. You got to dive right in and not worry about a thing." And so many times, if you're thinking too much about something, you're thinking too much. If you just start, and you'll find the path, and then it goes. It's just wonderful how you've written this.
Oh, well, thank you. I want to give a shout out to Coach Claude Brousseau as well, who, when I met him, he gave my daughter a lesson once when we were in Hawaii, and he's the guy that first showed me that there was some magic in this game. And it sent me on this path, because he just casually said to her, "You know, golf means game of life first." So I, you know, all these different things, all these different truisms and ways that people talk about golf, they were just ripe to be added to a fantasy for young players, because they, and what Greg will tell you is, he had a lot of frustration watching the busy business of adult golf infect the fun of the pure young player. And, you know, that's what we really wrote this for, is like a way for kids to not get entrapped in the business of the devil and the details.
Oh, instead, gosh, yes.
they get the grace of going out there and trying and swinging for it. And today, I mean, I saw Michelle Wee's clip that LPGA tweeted out, and it was, they quoted her saying, "I'm having fun." And I listened to the quote. She's like, "I'm having fun. I'm building confidence hole by hole, shot by shot." I've never seen anything like golf that is a perfect metaphor for life, ever.
Yeah. Now, you know, when you talk about children being infected by the adult seriousness, the one of the hardest things that the AJGA, the American Junior Golf Association, is dealing with is pace of play. Now, how many children do you know want to languish around and study something before they actually do it? Very few. They want to get it done.
None.
They want to get move.
And you're spot on, Danielle, and you're going to find another chapter in the book that I think you'll enjoy as well, which is, you know, the pit of doom, which we really kind of took on a bunker.
Yes.
You know, and you know, Michael was sitting around asking, he's like, you know, give me the most challenging thing you see or young people see in golf. And I'm like, well, no one likes going in the bunker. And they get into the bunker, and you know, your average player is all nervous, and they kind of tiptoe in there, and they're afraid to kind of swing at it, and they kind of blade it, and you're just, they're just very timid. And I said, when I teach young kids bunker shots, you know, I get three or four kids in a bunker, and I stand outside the bunker, and they go in there with a golf club, they don't get a golf ball, and I'm like, listen, your job is to throw as much sand as you can possibly throw out of this bunker and hit Coach Greg as much sand as possible. Well, then these kids get in there, and they run to get in the bunker. They're all excited. They're getting their feet all of a sudden. They're just chucking the sand everywhere. Well, they're now enjoying it, and then you put a ball, obviously I got out of the way, you put a ball there, and it's amazing how a very difficult shot became fun and simple for a 10-year-old. And that, and I gave that example to Michael, and then when you read the pit of doom, you'll laugh all the way through it, because it just epitomizes, you know, a fun way to attack something as opposed to being so scared and timid.
So now there's people, of course, the children are in this book, but they're the most important characters that go with both the Maxwell and Skyler are the golf balls. And the golf balls aren't really balls. They're, you know, you hit me over here. It's not my fault that I'm stuck in this tree.
Exactly.
Where did you come up with some of these little characters? Was this you, Michael?
Well, I got to tell you that Greg would always have these amazing little stories about interactions he'd have with young players, and then I would turn those into what you've read. One of the stories that he told me that I thought was really fun was about a boy who was hitting golf balls over and over. Remember, Greg? Tell her that story.
Yeah, I mean, you've been around this business as long as I have. I spent a summer in a driving range, and, you know, I'm sitting there selling buckets and buckets of balls, and, you know, a family comes up, and dad and a couple sons, and, you know, the typical rapid fire kids hitting 85 golf balls as fast as humanly possible, and I'm sitting there like, this has got to stop. I've got to jump in. So I walk over to this young boy, and he can't be more than like 8. And I said, come here, let me talk to you. And he gets, I said, bring that golf ball over here. And he brings a golf ball. I said, this golf ball has a sole purpose in life, it is to make you happy. Like, it, you know, and you need to understand the life of this golf ball. And I said, you know, it spends its entire week out there in the grass, and this big ugly machine comes and picks it up, and then it comes back here and it gets stored in the basement and goes. And so I actually took the young boy into the basement and showed him the ball washing machine and showed him all of what this golf ball goes through, all just to be hit by you. And if you don't take your time and enjoy the golf ball and just rip it out there for the fun of it, that poor golf ball is going to be sad. And you don't want to make the golf ball sad. So I told Michael this story, and he's like, all right, golf ball's got to have a name, got to be a person.
Exactly.
Alive, and that's how Ralphie was born.
It's priceless. The name of the book is The Puddle Club, and it's written by Michael McGruther and Greg Russell. And where can we find it?
You can buy it on Amazon.com.
Okay.
You can also go to the publishing company, which we started, which is Hazel and Farrell Books at Hazelbooks.com.
Hazelbooks.com. Okay. And I want to, well, on a final note, it's the way you keep nudging me to try my best. It feels good to be believed in. You're a good friend, Ralphie. That was Skylar's ball. She tossed him in the air and caught him again. So that's some of the stuff that your child can learn and you can enjoy teaching them, okay? It's called the Puddle Club. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. I've got to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Aloha, fam.
And here we go. Okay, thank you to the people who do. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business, for your home. It's Rainer Doors. Residential and commercial fences and gates. So you've got the roll-up doors, they've got fences, they've got gates. Yes, call 647. That is 647-2056. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsman can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project. You got this great idea, you just don't know how to execute. Yep, Futura Stone. They're the people you turn to. Futura Stone, only the best. Creative Plumbing. Oh, you know the story. It doesn't matter whether you're a building, a huge shopping center, they can do it. A store, a little tiny house, a townhouse, a new build, a renovation, a repair. You call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. And that is Creative Plumbing. And of course, Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, thank you for introducing us to the Puddle Club. We appreciate it so very much. If you'd like to hear the show again, it's at radiogolfclub.com. It's podcast at all the places where you like to get your podcasts, but you can go to my website and find it there as well. It's always a pleasure spending time with you, and don't forget Hawaii Junior Golf Day. Just go to hsjga.org. My name's Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.